Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like...
You with the crew?
You from the D.
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold.
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305.
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here we go. Hour three, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And we're an hour now from what you drink and what you think, and we're about 40 minutes away from Jared Sandler joining you. We're going to talk Rangers Angels with him pregame for your baseball club coming up at 8 o'clock tonight after a one-hour Fan After Dark. We got some basketball discussion coming up here for you in 20 minutes. We'll talk Mavs next head coach. Right now, time for Wolchuk's Mix Bag. Here's Zach.
All right, you never know what you're going to get. Let's shake on up this bag. And Sean McVay ball sacking us. We're going to get to that in just a second. But first and foremost, Fernando Mendoza, hot off the press. He's staying single because he does not have time for a girlfriend. He says that's too distracting. Quote, I don't have time for a girlfriend. Girls are very distracting. If I have one, I'd give her all my hanging out instead of watching extra film.
He gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands.
Yeah, he gets it.
He's a true, just he he's all ball.
He would give her his all.
He's the real ball maxer.
And I think he's onto something. So that's
week seven.
You know, much like him and Jaden Daniels.
Week seven. Las Vegas police booking for prostitution, illegal prostitution.
Wow.
Hey, prostitution's legal in Vegas, yeah. I know.
Some tips.
Got one of those brothels out there, huh?
All this is going to lead to him, like, something bad is going to happen where it's like he gets thrown in jail for something.
Okay. Just don't go full Marv Albert.
No. Yeah. Or
you can't be you can't be this guy like, oh no, women are a problem, and yeah, can't be that guy. Even though
he
they
needs
are.
To tread lightly a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and just ease in on to that thing, huh? Yeah.
I think for some guys they make it work. You know, it works for them better.
Yeah,
you know, I understand where he's coming from.
Some guys they're chasing too much. They need a girlfriend to slow them down.
Wasn't that what Coach JB said? We're like fat because we're not chasing enough. Is that what you played?
Yeah, but that doesn't apply to the athletes, though.
Okay, the athletes are already. They're not worried.
They're fit.
Or is Fernando Mendoza going to get fat because he's not chasing?
Because he's so committed to ball, he's okay.
It's all right.
If he was in his LinkedIn, you know, cubicle world.
No, you're right. I tried. You guys.
He's going to meet a Raider cheerleader. Is what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to be. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
That's what's going to happen.
All right. Can you name the only two running backs that have gained 1,000 rushing yards in each of the last four seasons? Football guy of the day. On the line.
Derrick
the
Henry.
Only two running backs to have gained 1,000 yards rushing in each of the last four seasons. Yes, Derrick Henry is one of the two.
Guess.
Derrick Henry, one of the two.
Barkley?
Barkley's incorrect.
No, he gets injured too much. Last four seasons, who else has just consistent? Wouldn't be McCaffrey. Would it be, could it be Cook in Buffalo?
It's not Mr. Cook.
It's not Cook in Buffalo?
What about the Cook? There's two Cooks, aren't there?
This is courtesy of Ian Harteets.
Okay. Oh, that's our guy.
Yep.
Let's see. Another
Derrick Henry one. Looking for number two.
It is a running back. It's not going to be like some, oh my gosh, it's Lamar Jackson.
A running back.
Okay.
I'll throw in a hint. Part of those 2 years, those have now been on two different teams.
Okay, running back who's changed teams. David Montgomery?
Not David Montgomery.
And yeah,
quality, yes. Quality, yes. Not Detroit. Not Detroit. They might have some blue in their jersey, though.
Mm. Oh, Tony Pollard.
Oh, it's the Giants.
It's Tony Pollard. Oh,
Tony Effie
Isn't
Pollard.
That a stunner?
Yeah.
The only two running backs that have gained 1,000 rushing yards in each of the last four seasons, Derrick Henry and Tony Pollard.
That's right.
And he is still RB1 in Tennessee.
He is.
Still just 29 years old.
Quietly still been very productive there. Did they make a mistake?
The Cowboys?
They being the Cowboys.
Should they have signed Tony Pollard?
I mean, you got I think the biggest
Javonte.
I think the biggest mistake they made was Jordan Lewis. If you ever want to know my biggest Cowboy not signing somebody mistake,
it's
Jordan Lewis.
Been a big one.
That's the one.
Man, and he barely hit 1,000 yards. 1,007, 1,005, 1,079, 1,082. I just feel like after that knee injury, he wasn't as electric.
It did not look quite the same. And look, I think that Tajay Spears has eaten into some of that role. Like, he could have been a little bit more there. But Spears has been a good back when healthy for them as well. But I thought that wasn't – I would never have guessed Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
You guys did a good job there. Excellent
but
work.
But he was 5'5 and 5'2 in 2021 and 2022. And then, boom, knee pops, and it's 4'2". Now it's back to 4'5", but he's about to be 30 years old. I think the bigger issue is if you're Tennessee, do you trust Tony Pollard to take the pressure off of Cam Ward? I would want younger, more explosive, you better stack the box to stop this guy type of.
It's amazing that running game Moses, can help him even more. Running game Moses.
Yeah, and then his son got fired there. Did he stay on the staff, or
I
want to
say he's with Stefanski in Atlanta now.
No, he left. Oh, wow. He left, but he was but you figured that they would probably have run the ball better.
Yeah, you would have. Chris Canty, former Dallas Cowboy and New York Giants, said on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN.
He's a hot taker.
Okay, so that's kind of where I'm going here. Do you think he knows something, or is he just pulling something out of his rear? He said, quote, regarding Myles Garrett, nobody has given me a reasonable explanation as to why Myles Garrett would defer a $30 million payment until a week before the season. It feels like Todd Monken knows something that everybody else doesn't, which is he's not with the team right now. He's probably not going to be on the team when we start the season in week one.
Is he still going to be in Japan?
I don't know. Is he just – there's no way he's not playing football for somebody.
No,
he's not going to forfeit that money. But does Myles Garrett actually get traded before the season starts? I find this, I felt this is hot takey.
So he's working the angle that they're waiting to trade him before that balloon payment so the new team can give him the 30?
Yeah, or he's deferring the payment until he can get traded.
It must just be a...
Is giving him time to trade him?
I guess. I think maybe this is just so he doesn't have to show up.
I believe that's the case.
You know, I can just... I'm not... You don't need me there. I'm fine. You don't even worry about paying me until the week before the season, because I'd like to miss as much of this offseason as possible.
Yeah, because you feel like that if there was a trade in place, why wouldn't they already have just done that?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
Tennessee have drafted an edge if you knew that you were going to move on from him?
Or Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
Seems like a reach to me, Wolchuk.
I think so, too. I think he's reaching.
Watching Tennessee play softball right now.
It's a digital transfer. You know, I don't have to be there.
You're getting that money regardless. Yeah, I think that's a reach, too. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed the Teddy Bridgewater Act into law.
Everybody has to wear two gloves.
You have to wear two gloves, and now middle and high school coaches can use up to $15,000 of their own funds to support student athletes with food, transportation, and recovery services. If you remember, Teddy Bridgewater got fired because he was doing such things at the high school he was the head coach
of. Miami, right?
And then he came back, in Miami, but now that's allowed. That's illegal.
What a play by me.
I mean, that's cool for sure. It's just there's very few
they can afford
coaches
to do that.
That can do that. Teddy Bridgewater is the all-time outlier. They shouldn't have punished him in the first place, so it's good that they've got this at least the next time there's some giant money dude that happens to be a football coach. But for the most part, these guys are not making enough money to be able to spend $15,000.
It's a lot.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's
no, but at least I can get the kid a lunch, you know? At least I could get him a steak, you know? If I'm like, man, we need to put some meat on your bones, and you're like, well, coach, I didn't have dinner last night. You're like, okay, I'm going to get you an extra Happy Meal four times a week.
Yeah.
You know, and I could do that for $12 for, you know, a week for a while and not get punished. I don't have to worry about getting punished. Yeah. So I can do what I can do, you know. And I don't know. Some of these coaches, I think, at the top schools are making, what, 200 grand, 150 grand?
Yeah, head coach.
In Texas, yes, absolutely.
Head coach is six figures.
Yeah.
You know.
And some of the premier schools. Yeah. Definitely. But, I mean, $15,000. I mean, still, like, Teddy Bridgewater's a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not everybody's got, like, a former NFL player as their head coach. I do see your point.
I would be willing. It's kind of like a recruiting budget, though, you know? Yeah. I think there's going to be pressure put on some of the coaches, like, hey, coach, can you help me out?
Yeah. Yeah, now that this is out there.
That's true.
I'm kind of asking the school for an extra 30 so I can have the 15 to pay out-of-pocket stuff that's going to start popping up here pretty quick. Otherwise, we're going to lose kids to the Teddy Bridgewater team.
Yeah. They're all going where they can get paid.
Yeah, you're a head coach. You kind of work that into your deal.
Definitely.
Like, whatever you want to give me 15K more because it's going back into my team.
Yeah, I'm going to need to take care of my players now.
Yeah.
All right, is this the ultimate just cover job by Sean McVay? Is he just doing big-time damage control, or do you believe what he's selling here, busting with the boys as he takes us inside what really went down with his reaction during this entire quarterback draft pick fiasco?
What is the truth is that going into that, it was, you know, I'm like, shoot, what is the best way to handle this? Because great night for Ty and his family. Excited, you know, that we have a potential guy, but also respectful and mindful of the fact that I don't want this to be misunderstood. You know, I'm super grateful that Matthew Stafford is our guy. And so I would have been naturally just a little bit more reserved, but then there's other things that you're dealing with. And so if you said, hey, if you had that over again, how would you be? I would have made sure that I wasn't mentally resilient to be able to snap out of some things that I was bothered about that had nothing to do with what the interpretation was. I missed the boat big time. Mm-hmm. And what I felt bad about is it became a story.
Right.
And really that, you know, it looked like Les and I weren't connected. Yeah. And my vibe was off. We always talk about the energy. That was bad energy that night.
Bad vibe.
I was an energy vampire.
I do love that line. He was an energy vampire. He kind of sucked the vibes out of the room there. A bad way.
So, I do respect him just kind of owning that.
Accountability. I mean, I love it. I love listening to McVay talk, but I do, when you watch, and the Rams have now put out some of the draft night footage, and maybe what he's saying there's 100% honest. I think that the reality is Sean McVay would have liked a player that could have helped his roster win now, and he didn't really want to take this quarterback. And he's going with it, and now he's doing the ultimate damage control. That's what I really think is going on.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard for me to imagine that Les Snead would totally override McVay. Like, I feel like McVay, of all coaches in the NFL, would be swinging quite a big stick in any one of those rooms to be like, dude, I'm not, if you really don't, like, you're the offensive, like, you're supposed to be the quarterback guru. If you don't like this guy, why am I going to push him on you? Like, that would just be so dumb for Les Snead, who's not dumb.
I would have done exactly what Les Snead did. And I tell you why. This guy has flirted with retiring. He always talks about how long I want to do this. You know, you know, you're loyal to your coach, you know, and listen, that was a bad look for Les, against Les. You know, he's just trying to do his job, and they've worked together very, very well. But they should have been on the same page there. Like, you know, the fact that Les Snead looked so uncomfortable knowing that this guy was kind of in that stewing mode because he was trying to play it low key and he didn't want to appear excited because of his quarterback. Listen, Les is doing what he has to do. There's no guarantee. This coach could wake up and say, listen, man, I don't want to do this anymore.
So Sean McVay looks you in the eye. You're Les Snead. He's like, Les, I'm here, bro. Like, I had an issue 3 years ago in 2022. I thought about hanging him up. But we're in 2026 now, and we're
that's
cruising.
What I'm saying, though.
I'm telling you, I'm your guy. We're good. I don't want this quarterback. Les Snead's just going to say, I don't trust you. I don't believe what you're telling me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I'm looking at McVay thinking, like, at any time he could wake up and say, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I'm one of these guys. Listen, John Madden quit really early. John Madden quit in his 30s. You know, I mean, these guys, they do get burnt out. They do, you know, the chase isn't fun anymore for some of them.
Sure.
You know, and I understand what you're saying, but I also think, like, man, I'm going to wake up and you're going to call me and tell me that, you know, my heart ain't doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not into this anymore. But they should have been on a better page, because if you look at Les Snead, that entire press conference, he is so uncomfortable. Like he had to fight for this guy,
yeah,
with McVay. And now McVay's putting out the body language, and Snead could sense it. He could sense that this is not going well for him. You know?
Right.
They could have done better. They both could have done better.
I would like to look at McVay's reaction to a lot of their other picks, though, like over the last 5 years. Do we have the cut-ups? Because I do feel like part of that is performative, you know?
Yeah.
Where, okay, we're going to make the pick, and the cameras are going, and yeah, high five and hugs. Like, we have drafted hundreds of people over our lifetimes. We understand there's a chance this guy is not going to work. The only thing that matters now is how he shows up and plays. Mm-hmm. There are some picks that I think are genuinely exciting. Like, holy crap, I can't believe this guy just fell to us.
I got Caleb Downs.
Yeah. But Ty Simpson isn't that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Ty Simpson's like, we have known that if we want to take Ty Simpson at 13, he's going to be there for months.
Yeah.
So there's no surprise to it. And I don't want to stand up and be fake to generate this excitement for something that, number one, I'm not excited for. But I think the Stafford thing applies.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair.
I would love to know what he means, because he said that multiple times. Like, there was other stuff going on that ticked him off. Like, was it draft-related stuff? Like, there was another player that he was hoping got to him didn't? Or could it literally be something as simple as my wife pissed me off and I was dealing with that?
I mean, was he, like, hoping Jordan Tyson was going to be there?
Right.
Or he really wanted Mekhi Lemon, you know, who had been linked to him the whole time.
Philadelphia traded with you to get ahead of him, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he felt like, oh, we got outsmarted here. That initially the plan was to take Lemon, and then all of a sudden the fallback.
Well, that was with Pittsburgh. They traded ahead of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they could have taken Lemon. Lemon was available at 13.
The Rams could have taken him. That was back with the Lawrence pick. They backed up in the 20s.
Well, when did Philadelphia pick Lemon? I thought it was ahead of
20.
At 20.
At 20.
Yeah, the Cowboys bailed out. The Cowboys bailed out there.
Yeah, I thought, okay, my bad there. Yeah.
Last thing, just to pay off on the tease, Hooters is rebranding. They're going family friendly. They're looking to tone down the waitress outfits here.
West Toe.
That wasn't the problem.
Yeah, it was the prices and the food.
It was the food quality. It kind of went down from there. Sugary ass alcoholic drinks.
Yeah, their CEO's hoping to attract more families and
those
couples.
Wings used to be so good at Hooters. Good. They used to be amazing.
And that buffalo shrimp, delicious, but
oh my God,
so over expensive now. In the near future, and after the original owners reacquired the brand and are looking to make more subtle changes, he added the second thing, which was a big issue. They changed the uniforms of the girls and put them in almost what appeared to be a thong. And that was never the intention when this concept started.
Got to make it more family friendly.
It's called Hooters.
Well, it's more about the top. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. You're not going there for the buns anyway.
No, going there for the wangs.
I just think the hamburger buns.
The competition popped up around them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got
your
Twin Peaks,
your ends, all sorts of deals.
Yeah,
there's the tight ends.
There's tight ends.
Yeah, there's lots of them now. You got what one? Was it Ojos Locos?
Knockouts.
Knockouts.
Ojos Locos, yeah.
Yeah, there's
speaking of knockouts, yeah, shout out to Ojos Locos.
Yeah.
There's always some knockouts at that place.
Talk about some thongs.
About 8:30 in the afternoon, they're going to get to swinging, bro.
Okay, would you want this guy to be the Mavs' next head coach?
Should be chunky, never taste so good.
We got lingering Mavs questions as we head into the first weekend of the new era coming up next year on the
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold.
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305.
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. 15 minutes here from Sands. He's going to join you, talk to you about Rangers and Angels with the pregame coming up at 8 o'clock. Chance to get back to 500. Okay, segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, you get the Angels and then the Astros, so great chance. Okay, Brian's Gang of Seven checking in from the West Finals there at the break.
How about that? Yeah, this was actually from some people that would know what's going on. That the tonight, look for San Antonio. They're players that are questionable for tonight. They're thinking game time decisions, and they're going to ask them, "Hey, how do you feel? Feel good? Let's go." That's where they're at. This is going to come down to putting on sweats, going out there and shooting them around a little bit. But if they feel good enough to play, we could see San Antonio back with their players.
That's huge.
It is huge.
It's Harper and Fox. Yeah. True game time decisions.
You know, they're tough injuries, and I would be kind of surprised. I think anytime you're in this kind of a situation, you could play games. You know, you could play games with, these guys might play just to try to make somebody ready. But, you know, Bryant's getting a seven is as close to it as you can get. So. Yeah. You know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But for me, I need to know like 30 minutes before tip with certainty if I'm going to place a wager on this.
Right.
Because this goes from me thinking San Antonio could be up 2-1. If those guys don't play, I don't think there's much of a shot they win.
I'm not trying to make – I've just – like I said, I was hopeful that I could get some insight to be, you know, like, oh, no, hey, we're going today. We're good. But they really are waiting to see how these guys feel once they put a few shots up.
So the biggest question around the Mavs and their head coach search right now is a new one. I got Mike Curtis wrote lingering Mavs questions in the morning news. We can get to those here a little bit later on in the segment. But the Dawn Staley question was one of the first things I woke up to today, that the Mavs could interview Dawn Staley. Of course, we've had
Becky. Who is she?
She is the head coach at South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Louis Vuitton Dawn.
Yeah.
Okay, so she is.
She's tough.
She'll fight the other coach if you need to.
Her and Gino.
Yes, she had the showdown with Gino.
Yep.
I'll whoop Gino's ass.
Her and Kim Mulkey will go after it too now.
Multi-time champ, though?
Yeah.
A couple of time champ there.
Yeah, she was season.
Was she an All-American in Virginia? She was, I think.
I think you're right about
that. She was a highly kind of decorated player, yeah.
So,
did she play for Gino? Am I tripping?
No, she played at Virginia.
Okay.
At Virginia.
So, you know, we live in a world now where we are more and more comfortable with non-players or women having bigger roles in sport. You know, when I first started in sports radio, if you said, I think a woman could coach the Mavericks, you would get laughed off the air. Like, you would be significantly outvoted from your peers at the radio station. You know, if you wanted to have the take, it would be looked at as a radical idea. Like, oh, you're virtue signaling. There's no way that could actually happen. A woman coaching a man's sport. But now we live at a time where I think we've seen more and more people make their way to head coach without having playing experience, you know. And while that's still ultra important in Major League Baseball, we have had a skipper or two that never played in the big leagues, I believe. So, you know, this one's interesting to me. I think it would be cool to look down on the Mavs sideline and have a woman's coach. Don't you guys? So I'm kind of looking at this like, man, maybe it would be a cool way that you could, you know, be the first team to do something. Mm-hmm.
And I definitely, you know, don't think it's a radical idea to believe that a woman can relate just as well and have as good of an understanding for the game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think the, you know, just how would the players respond to it, I think, is the big thing. Like, from a fan, say what you want, but how would the players actually respond? Like, anonymous NBA player poll, let's get 150 NBA players asked about having a female head coach. I would want to know how they would respond to it. And it would be pretty fascinating, right, if it started in the NBA.
Right.
Like, we don't see a lady coach coaching a men's college basketball team, do we?
No, we don't.
Or a lady coach coaching a dude's high school basketball. I don't even know. I mean, maybe. But it's not something I'm familiar with.
Like, the Spurs would have been the first one, right? With Becky Hammon, she was just an assistant coach with them.
Right.
They didn't hire her.
Yeah, so, I mean, it would definitely be a groundbreaking thing. She mentioned, because she interviewed, I guess, for the Knicks job last summer, and she said at one point, she said, no NBA team is ready for a female coach right now, after interviewing with the Knicks.
When was that?
That was, I guess, last summer.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think there's any chance it would happen.
Nancy Lieberman coached the Texas Legends in 2009 up in Frisco.
Okay.
Becky Hammon, 2014, she was hired by the Spurs, first full-time female assistant.
Did she do some interim?
She did. She had to coach a couple of games when Pop got sick. But then they did not hire her on. She's now with the Aces.
No, that's what I'm saying. But I mean,
she's head coached some games.
She did fill in. Yeah, she did. I mean, I think as an assistant coach, that would kind of be the start. You know, and then maybe you can be like a coach in waiting type thing.
How could you be a player and not know who Dawn Staley was? How could you not know her? I mean, she's got legitimate skins on the wall.
You just have no interest in women's sports. You know, you see women's sports and you're like, turn that off.
Man, I just kind of feel like if you're a player in the NBA and you said her name, that if you're talking about female coaches – I mean, I'm sure you could go back. I mean, not everybody knew who Pat Summitt was or, you know, any of these other ladies. But this one, you kind of would know who she is, I believe, as a player. You would say, well, okay, yeah. Yeah, she's at South Carolina, right? Yeah, she can coach. Yeah, I think she wouldn't be just a nobody. I think players would know her resume. I would think.
These texts are really ignorant. 469, a woman coaching men is absolutely R word. Are you guys trolling? I think Gavin is smoking dope. Get him off the radio. Gavin showing his closet liberalism. Y'all are a bunch of woke P words for believing a woman can coach a man's sport.
What men, do you mean y'all?
I'm just kidding. I mean, men can coach women's sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why couldn't a woman coach a man's sport? Well, Chuck, you seem pretty sure of it over there.
Well, I just don't think it's going to happen, right? I think that, I mean, her outlining it last year in her interview that she doesn't think the NBA is ready for it.
Well, that's her opinion. I mean, she was feeling rejection.
Sure, but I also think there's something to it. I mean, I think that if you were to look at most Maverick fans, the reaction is going to be similar to what we're getting in the text. I just don't think that it's likely. I also think that's a big jump. I think the point of we don't even
it's
see.
It's not a jump, though. 2014, Becky Hammond. This is like 12 years later.
Yeah, and she didn't get
hired
as the head coach.
It's just a game. It's angles. It's the same angles that apply to the women's game.
Well, okay.
It's just communication between people. It's educating them on where the other team is strong and weak and how we can break them down.
I'm not saying that she couldn't do it, but it is a jump, or else it would have happened already. I mean, to Eric's point, you don't even have a female coaching a men's college basketball team. Why is that not the case? Right, which is a lesser level of basketball. So I think that I don't think we're ready for that.
Oh, yeah, we're ready. It's going to happen soon. I think
it's going
to happen
real
soon.
I don't think it's going to happen with the Mavericks this year, but.
Oh, no, I wouldn't bet on the Mavs.
I wouldn't be upset about it if they did.
Individual team. Gavin, I love you, but that's a bad take. Been listening since day one. Okay, well, I would say get ready for it because it's definitely going to happen. I don't know if the Mavs are going to do it, but I think a lot of other cities and states around the country.
I mean, Dawn Staley's the most qualified of anybody.
I was just looking up the all-time worst men's coaches in basketball in NBA.
Yeah.
There's some doozies. There was a guy named Jim Boylan, Chicago Bulls, 2018 to 20, 39-84. He became a walking meme for his bizarre old-school coaching tactics. This first week, he held multi-hour military-style practices after back-to-back games, prompting players to nearly stage formal mutinies. How about Magic Johnson's the coach? He was 5-11 for a little bit. You know, there's some dudes. I think Tim Floyd's probably in this group right here somewhere. I remember old Tim Floyd.
He had a couple runs. Bulls. Hornets, yeah, Bulls.
Tim Floyd, 95 and 334. He was with the Bulls and the Hornets from 98 to 2004. Think about that. That's something good coach. 6 years they figured out he couldn't coach. I don't know. Man, there's some bad men. Steven Silas, 59 and 177 with the Rockets. That's recently, 2020 to 2023. You know, Becky Hammon probably coached, those gals probably coached better than these guys.
Yeah, it seemed like Becky Hammon was going to get that Spurs job. I was surprised that she didn't. But they passed on her and went and hired Mitch Johnson. And I think that kind of says, I don't think the league is ready for it.
All righty. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that the players would be in favor of it. I just simply don't know the answer to that question. They need to start asking in the anonymous player polls.
I'm with you. I'd love to know.
Roy Rubin, 4-47.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess my thought would be the players are probably a lot more open-minded to this as 20-somethings for the most part than our audience. But I don't know. It is maybe something that can be brought up with an anonymous player poll, and we can be illuminated upon that. Man, sorry to tick you off so much, Fantex.
They are crashing out,
bro. No, I'm surprised. Alrighty. I'm surprised
that was
the
something
the
right there.
They're not all bad. Like the 989, out of all of Gavin takes, this isn't even close to the worst one.
See, that's what I thought.
Okay, we got Sam.
I don't think it's a ridiculous thing to say.
It's kind of sad.
It is.
It's kind of sad.
I would say so.
Do you feel like that, real quick, do you feel like that a woman could coach like a men's soccer team?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I think the only, maybe there's very few jobs that a woman couldn't do.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying.
I think it just impregnating a woman is the only one she couldn't do. Like, if that was a job somewhere, can you impregnate a woman? No, she can't. Other than
some people are going to get pissed about that.
You're telling me I can't impregnate a woman? I am a woman.
Define woman. We got Jared Sandler coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We're about to chat with Jared Sandler, get the intel on Rangers-Angels tonight. Jordan Spieth pulled in with a 62 at the Byron Nelson, which put him at 12-under, and at the time it was one off the pace going into the weekend. Scheffler was among the leaders. But Siwoo Kim is on fire on the back nine. He's through 14. He is 10-under for the day. He is 17-under for the tournament. So with 4 holes to play, Brian,
yeah,
he could shoot like a 58?
Yeah, that's always the records when you start to talk about, you know, what's the 59 is kind of the benchmark. But, yeah, maybe he could – I think tournament record – someone might have shot a 50. I think it was let me see who shot 58. But, yeah, but that
– he had a 64 yesterday.
Yeah, that
somebody
would –
somebody shot a 61
today. So par
today.
71. He could shoot a 57 if he birdies each of the remaining four holes. That's what Siwoo Kim is looking at currently with a four-stroke lead through 14 at the Byron as Jared Sandler joins you now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, Sands. How the heck are you?
What's up, guys? What's the PGA Tour record? Is it still Furyk with 58?
I'm looking right now, Jared. Tell us some baseball things while I look.
Okay.
What's your favorite baseball?
How are things in Southern California, buddy?
They're great. No, we got
58 Furyk. You're absolutely right. And that was on August 7th of 2016. Yes, that's at the Travelers, the final round at the Travelers there at River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut.
Okay, how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a captain of the Ryder Cup team coming up.
There you go. That's
that,
right. There you go.
All right. Well, maybe the U.S. can get their heads out of their asses. Well,
can the Angels? Hopefully not this weekend.
No, the Angels can't.
Yeah. Man, what a – it's so weird because – so they're 6-24 in their last 30 games. It's the worst record over a 30-game stretch in Major League history for a team that has a multi-time MVP winner on the roster. I know that's a lot to digest, but Mike Trout's playing good baseball. He's not going to win an MVP this year, but he's been healthy and he's been good, and the Angels can't win. It seems like our pal Mike Maddox has his hands full because this team just does not want to pitch. They really don't want to hit. They'll hit home runs, but that's about it. And they've got the worst record in Major League Baseball. But as we hopefully, you know, we're just reminded, the Rangers got out of Colorado needing a ninth inning comeback to take 2 of 3 from the worst team in the National League. So you gotta still show up and get it done. But this is a great opportunity for the Rangers to win another series on the road.
Hey, Jerry, can I ask you a question that it's not really a baseball question, but how did you pack for this trip when it went from humidity to 30 degrees to 73 degrees? How did you do that?
Well,
do they carry parkas for you guys on the road?
No, but I didn't. I screwed up. When I looked at Denver's weather, I usually start packing a few days before, so it's about a week out, and it was like in the 70s, and so I didn't consider that it would be like a freeze watch in Denver. So I had to like layer up with layers that weren't meant to be on top of one another, if that makes sense. It was very uncomfortable. Normally, this is the biggest pain in the ass to pack when you have a three-city trip with different climates. So you are – thankfully, we don't have weight restrictions that I know of when we fly, so I don't have to adhere to 50 pounds, but I make sure to use every single piece of space in my suitcase to, because the other thing too is, like, you know, I'm not doing laundry in the middle of the trip, and
right.
So I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not smelling like ass either, because that's not fun for me or anyone around me.
So you know
I'm not like a big outfit guy, but you got to make sure you got stuff. And then when you got an off day mixed in, you got to make sure you've got the off day outfit, whatever you're going to wear, you know? So it's, not this is one of the first world travel problems in Major League Baseball.
Could you explain that catcher's interference for us, please, Jared?
Thank you, Jared.
I ended up on my timeline the other day, and I got a big kick out of that. I'll say this, guys, give Jock Peterson credit, because that is a disadvantageous matchup left on left, and he competed. And, you know, he had fouled off, I think, one or two pitches prior to that. He had laid off a pitch. Like, he didn't just go down on three pitches like, you know, like a pitcher going up into the box with no desire to hit. And, you know, that made that all possible. And, you know, that's something that, you know, hopefully Evan Carter can look at and say, gosh, you know, if I can just get to that, you know, that would be so helpful, because Evan Carter defensively is not someone you want out of the lineup ever. But Evan Carter at the plate, unfortunately this year, he struggled, right? He's had a down year, whether it's lefties or righties. But against lefties, you know, it's incredibly tough to have him in there if it's in a competitive spot. And, you know, hopefully he can continue to grow towards that. And, you know, hopefully he looks at Alejandro Osuna as well. Alejandro Osuna hasn't been great against lefties, but, you know, the competition he provides a left-handed pitcher is a lot stronger.
Sure. Why can't we bunt? Why are we not pushing bunts
for Evan?
Yeah. and just running like hell. You know?
I'd love that. Unfortunately,
we don't bunt well.
You know,
we just don't bunt well, do we?
No, no. They're actually, the Rangers have been middle of the pack this year in bunt attempts and actual executed bunts. I think bunt hits there, I think they have 5, if I'm not mistaken. So that's like top 10 or so in the league. And then if you look at the sacrifice bunts, they're middle of the pack as well. But it's a good question with Evan. I'd love to see him use that more as a weapon, whether against lefties or righties with his speed. No doubt about it.
How about Grayson Rodriguez? I mean, it seemed like just a couple of years ago this was going to be one of the young, phenomenal pitchers, and he has the injury, and now he's kind of trying to find his way again.
Well, I'll say this. I thought that was a great trade made by Perry Manassian, trading Taylor Ward for Grayson Rodriguez. If for no other reason you're taking a flyer that this guy, as you mentioned, can kind of reclaim that form. The bet the Orioles are making is that this guy's just not going to be able to stay healthy. But the Rangers have seen Grayson Rodriguez in top form before. He's someone who, when he's healthy, a lot of power. He's got a really impressive changeup. We haven't obviously seen him here post-injury. This is just his second start. He didn't look good in his first start. Hopefully he's still going to need to take some more time to get his feet under him. But he's got when he's at his best, he's got a great fastball changeup combo. And that's how he neutralizes the lefties. And one thing, just as a sidebar, guys, to follow in the series, the Angels have 3 lefty relievers. Now, they're not necessarily the 3 best lefty relievers you're ever going to face, but you don't have to be a great lefty right now to give the Rangers some fits. They still haven't totally solved left-handed pitching. Justin Foskey's addition has helped. Ezekiel Duran has definitely helped. But, when a team only has 1 lefty reliever, it's a little bit easier for a manager to navigate that. With 3, it'll be interesting to see how, innings 6 through 9 go for Rangers hitters and how Kurt Suzuki utilizes his lefties. This might be a series where, if the Rangers can get out in front and play from ahead as opposed to, a close game on the road, it might be advantageous just because Kurt Suzuki has 3 different lefties he can draw from in his bullpen.
Mike Trout was on fire early. Looks like he's cooled down a little bit. Where is he right now in the overall career arc that he's experienced?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, he has cooled down a little bit. It's interesting. He slugs, he walks, and he strikes out. He doesn't really hit for a high average anymore these days. He has a totally different approach. His walk rate is over 20%. That would be the best of his career. That's an astronomical number. He just doesn't really chase. He's got great plate discipline. You still throw it in the zone, he's going to do damage, but he'll swing and miss. And it's almost like with all the injuries, he's had to figure out a different way to go about his business. And he's so, so good. One of the best, that we've ever seen. He's still a really, really good player, going about it in a different way with a different body. But, it's obviously not the dynamic player that, we grew up watching, or as he grew up in his career, we saw, but he's still someone who can beat you and burn you. And, he goes about it in a little bit of a different way these days.
Sands, have a heck of a night. Have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you Monday night, hopefully on the other side of 500.
Yeah, sounds good, fellas. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Cheers. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. The Rangers 24-25 going into play tonight. Pre-game's coming up at 8 o'clock. It is time now for that one segment of the week where you're encouraged to call in while intoxicated or in the process of catching a buzz. At 877-881-1053, your phone calls are next as it's time for What You Drinking and What You Thinking here on the Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport.
Rheotheca 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Rheotheca 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Keep cool out there, folks. It's gonna be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game, but from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.